Name of God. Lesson 4, Rational Emotive Behavioral Therapy. When Albert Ellis began working as a therapist, he found it helpful to give his clients information about issues related to their problems. However, he recognized that this method had its limitations. Ellis trained in psychoanalysis, and at the beginning of his career, he was using psychoanalytic techniques of free association and dream analysis. At this stage, he still believed, like Freud, that people became ill as a result of their childhood experiences and that the therapy was to reveal those experiences. He gradually became dissatisfied with this method. His clients usually gained insight into their difficulties, but their emotional problems continued. Many of his clients found free association too difficult. Others rarely dreamed or could not recall their dreams. From about 1950, Ellis began to experiment with other methods. He began working with his clients face to face, seeing them once a week, using a more active and superficial approach, and giving interpretations much earlier than Freudian therapists advocate. Ellis found that, by giving information and advice, his clients got better more quickly than with psychoanalysis. However, he was still dissatisfied. He added cognitive and behavioral techniques to his psychoanalytic procedures. But he still believed that clients' activities and relationships were produced by unconscious motivations and that, when they understood these motivations and had new ways of behaving, they got better. Despite all the changes he made, Ellis still found that many of his clients clung to their unhelpful thoughts and remained ill. He asked himself, why do intelligent human beings hold on to their irrational ideas about themselves and others? Ellis realized that the theory of early childhood experiences was inadequate. Something was lacking. At this time, Ellis was seeing a woman who spent most of the time fighting with her husband. She believed that the world was against her. After about 2 years of psychotherapy, her relationship with her husband improved, but she still believed unhelpful ideas about herself. Despite all progressions in therapy, she was feeling that she was really worthless. Ellis asked her what evidence was for the belief that she was really worthless. Finding none, she asked him how she could continue to believe it without any proof. Her question reflected his own thoughts. He realized that the simple reason was, because you're human. This was the turning point. Human beings have no difficulty in holding wrong ideas about themselves. The woman needed a more realistic way of thinking and a program for practicing that. Ellis tried this approach with other clients with similar successful results. He believed that he had discovered why people become ill and why they remain so. We have the ability not only to talk to others, but also to talk to ourselves. We tell ourselves that things are awful when they are perhaps bad or irritating. We also tell ourselves that what we want is what we must have. He saw that our psychological problems are not merely the result of early experiences or of learning. The way we think becomes our personal philosophy of life, and when that philosophy is based on false ideas, then psychological problems are the result. Ellis believed that he had discovered that our ways of thinking are roots of almost all our problems. In 1955, Ellis called himself a rational therapist. He published his first article on this approach in 1957 and stated 12 basic irrational beliefs that people use to make themselves ill. He developed his approach, adding various emotive and behavioral techniques to it. During the 1960s, other cognitive behavior theories were developed by Beck, Nietzschenbaum, and others, but his approach became more acceptable and influential.